Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. How are you today? I am Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. We got Rick Church on the other side of the glass, so get ready to rock and roll on the bumper music today. He said, Chris. If you want to jump in today, you know the deal. It's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. You can follow me, Craig Sheeman, at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. We got a lot to do. We had the NBA draft last night. There are some interesting stories. We'll get into the Klay Thompson situation. He's going to be gone for another year. Next hour, I believe Thirsty Nick, he's been out sick. I don't know what his deal is. I believe we may hear from him with a quiz, Thirsty sports quiz.
Rick can pick for Chris.
Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
I just say we just stick it to Chris and he gets a goose egg. That's what I would do, but you guys decide. Right.
Well,
Field Yates will be with us at 3:30. Lots of NFL to talk about and certainly an interesting game tonight for Thursday Night Football. 4 o'clock hour, we got another edition of Wikipedia, and then also Rick Harrell will join us. He's been a little spotty in his attendance lately, but I think we have him to talk about the sports side of the business side of sports. And of course, Kevin Todd will be with us at 5:30 as we do our Joes versus Pros pick. So Pete and I were just going over the games there. I think we're good and ready to go. You know, I was having a lovely breakfast outside today, not a cloud in the sky. I go in for a minute, I come back out, boom, it's gray and cloudy. I don't know what happened.
Well, it's still almost and breezy, too. I played had a nice round of golf this morning, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. But, man, the wind picked up, the fan came on, and the outside around, what time, around 9 o'clock, right at 9:15, right around, we made the turn on 10. Wow, did it come up.
Yeah.
Unbelievable match. With the club champion, Yvonne. She's like Cher at our place. Everybody knows Yvonne.
Right.
And her hubby, Tim, and another lovely lady, Wanda, who's an excellent golfer. I couldn't believe it. We played 6, 6, and 6, and nobody won and nobody lost any money. Absolute even Steven.
Even Steven.
Which, when I play her, I feel like I've paid for her home.
Oh, wow. Really?
All the money I've lost to her over the 3.5 years I've known her. But anyway.
Well, and how's the shoulder?
Shoulder only hurt one time.
Okay.
One time. I shot an 88, so I was happy.
Did you putt from the fairway from 100 yards out at any
point? No, I putted. It was very dry today, too. No, I didn't have that opportunity. I did putt from like 10 yards, 15 yards off, but I was pretty close today.
Okay.
I was not bad. I only really had two really bad shots.
We got some pre-show texts in already. Gunpowder, almost time. Have a good one. Almost Friday. Better than faith. Four stories up. Let's get the show started, boys. He's on top of a condo or something on the ocean.
Better than faith. Looking happy and handsome, buddy.
That's
nice
right.
Background. That's would be like, I don't know, still picture somewhere. Look at that.
Make it a Christmas postcard.
Send it to faith. Friends. Better than faith. You should send that to faith and Merry Christmas.
Big 12 guy says, it's go time, boys. Everyday Bucks fan just texting in. Happy day before party in the USA day. That's code word for Friday on this show. Let's see, 239. Pete, where are your favorite golf spots in the golf or favorite spots for golf in the area? All the pricey places that you like.
My favorite is my place.
You belong.
Because I belong and I live on a golf course. I've been international. But look, Jeff Nixon at Stony Brook, he's fantastic. I mean, they have really good deals there.
Yes.
Absolutely. There's a lot of places. You can look around and if you don't belong anywhere and have a PGA card where you pay like $50 a year. You get really good discounts. And, no, it's a little more pricier now, you know, November through April, especially November, December, January. But You'll be okay. Look around. There's a lot of good deals. This whole area, I mean, Southway, within a 40-mile range is just ridiculous. I mean, you can't.
Corkscrew is the most challenging, in my opinion, this area.
Yes.
Bring golf balls.
Yes. And I still have not played there yet.
Really?
I still have not played there yet.
Oh, I played there like the day before you started on the show.
I know. And I still haven't played there yet. And it's credible to me that that's FGCU's home course.
It's difficult.
Which I think they should be national champs every year from the difficulty that everybody describes it to me.
I agree.
Anybody who hasn't played there, at least those kids practice there every day, but if you haven't played there, I just hear horrors. I mean, challenging.
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 I mean, you don't want it to be a layup,
No.
I don't know, Augusta was so easy. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, there's that. Rick Church, congratulations. Your quarterback finally won a primetime Monday night football game.
Did you pop the cork?
That finally happened for you. I was very happy for you. And
Did you pop the cork?
I didn't celebrate it because I think it's dumb, you know, that they make such a big deal out of that.
All right.
You know, it's a team sport. I mean, I don't know that we can really, you know. It's fine. It's all good.
And
I'm just glad I don't have to hear it anymore.
Well, you're the center of the sports world because your Timberwolves last night had the number one pick in the NBA draft.
Oh, in 2020.
They take Georgia's Anthony Edwards, the guy that I'm not sure he's committed to basketball. He likes football, too. The Golden State Warriors took big man James Wiseman. They should have taken a three-point shooter because they're going to be without Klay Thompson for another year. He tore an Achilles last night working out, getting ready for the season.
Their starting five right now would be, I believe, Steph Curry, Damian Lee, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and James Wiseman. That's your starting five. Still not bad at all.
I'm going to do it.
40. No. 40. No, you're not.
40. 40 and 42. Oh, wait a minute. They're only playing 72. I got to readjust. I got to do math. I'll get back to you later.
35 and 37?
Something like that.
Wait till they get to practice and some exhibition, get to play exhibition games, see who else gets hurt.
I like
hurt.
To call it early. Exactly. Rock'em Sock'em Robot says play at Kelly Greens. They redid that a few years ago. It's a beautiful course.
Yes, it is.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, Raptor Bay played there. Yep.
Let's see here. Okay, so after the Timberwolves take Edwards and James Wiseman goes to Warriors, LaMelo Ball got picked by Michael Jordan in Charlotte. And didn't his dad have a beef with Michael Jordan, saying he could take him on one-on-one or something like that?
Yeah,
glad to see Michael Jordan doesn't hold a grudge. Said no one ever. But he did take him anyway. So some local flavor. A couple of top 11 picks from Florida State. Congratulations to that. Patrick Williams goes to the Bulls at number 4. Devin Vassell goes at number 11 to the Spurs. In between, my Pistons, we got to get into this just a little bit for our own interest. My Pistons and your Celtics added about 7 players between us last night. I'll start with the Pistons because they had the number 7 pick. They went with a 18-year-old youngster out of France to be their new point guard at Killen Hayes. They pick up Trevor Ariza from the Rockets and also pick up the 16th pick from them and got Isaiah Stewart out of Washington. Now, your Celtics were dealing at the back end of the front first round as well. You got
they got the 14th pick. They picked Aaron Naismith.
Yes, out of Vandy.
Who gets an A+ for a lot of people. My only contention is Vanderbilt 2 years ago didn't win any games in the SEC, and last year I don't believe they were very good last year as well. Maybe Rick can check on that.
Just win, baby.
But so who the hell knows? Who watches Vanderbilt basketball?
I don't know.
And you know, I did not watch 1 minute of the draft last night. I actually forgot it was on.
I didn't watch it either.
Like at 10 o'clock, I looked at my phone. I watched some of the football game and watched some other shows. But
yes,
so Aaron Naismith, by all accounts, can really knock down shots, and we'll see. He got an A+ from several. For the grade for the pick.
Hey, for a middle first rounder, that's good. And you got a couple of guys on the back end.
I always worry about bad player. And not that he's going to be this way, but remember what's his name when he's at Washington?
Markel Fultz.
I always wonder.
I agree. There's a question.
When you have great players in college and your team stinks, I always have a little bit of a red flag.
So you got Pritchard, the point guard out of Oregon. You also got Desmond Bane, a shooting guard out of TCU. And today is both sides agreed on Gordon Hayward. Did you have any feel for, are they going to let him walk? Is he going to? Is he going to? Because it's 34 mil. Would somebody else give him 34 mil right now? Because that's what he's got to weigh. Okay, if he cuts bait,
he thinks so.
Okay, do you think so? I mean, he hasn't really been around for 2 years. When you think about it,
there's always somebody that will look at the way that he was. The thing is, the four of them didn't play. The four of them, I mean, Jaylen Brown, Tatum.
Like three games with your original starting lineup.
Kemba Walker and Hayward. They didn't play a lot together.
On paper,
although when
Hayward,
Dan Hayward was not there, they had a pretty good record.
I think they were better without him chemistry-wise, which is a ridiculous thing to say, but I think they were.
And maybe it's because every time he seemed to get back into flow, he'd get hurt again, and they never really could to get it going. So I hope he stays. To me, it's like 50-50. I really don't have any idea. I really don't. I'm surprised that James Harden wasn't dealt.
Well, not yet. I think that's coming now, right? But again, the Rockets aren't going to get rid of him and Westbrook for nothing. And if there's nothing out there, they said they'll have some uncomfortable moments, which means he's staying here in Houston.
It's going to be fantastic.
It'll be great. It'll be great to watch. Locally, the Magic, they take Cole Anthony, the point guard out of North Carolina at 15, and the Miami Heat at number 20. Precious Achiuwa, a power forward, they picked him up as well. So
is his name Precious or is it Perseus? I was looking at the names this morning.
You know what?
Talking to my wife, having coffee.
I went out of my way to look up the pronunciation of the last name. I made the assumption on the first. I don't know. If anybody knows, let me know.
Because I have so many Lord of the Ring jokes with Smeagol and Gollum. I mean, this is Precious.
Yes.
My Precious. I can't even imagine.
It's a little bit creepy, but yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right, so that's everything in a nutshell that went on with the NBA draft last night.
Really interesting thing that just happened in college football, Craig, that the Pac-12 just announced that its CEO group has approved the flexibility for Pac-12 universities to schedule non-conference football games, opponents subject to certain parameters, something that the Big Ten would let Nebraska do for now. Right. And I still wonder, and don't tell me any differently, I'm saying talking to nobody in general, that if that was Ohio State, that some concessions would not be made. We agree?
Yeah, because before it was Nebraska, nobody cared.
Yeah.
Right? I think we
but
all
agree.
But
if Ohio State was in Maryland's position, and not saying Ohio State with the COVID, but say Ohio State or Michigan, that Maryland has missed a couple of games. If Ohio State would have missed a couple of games, two or three games, and you go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And maybe they only get five in.
I don't disagree with you at all. And again, Maryland in the Michigan State game canceled because of COVID.
Do you at least, will you meet me halfway at least on this? Okay. And I know there's a lot, if ifs and buts with candy nuts, we'd all have a hell of a party, that kind of thing.
Sure.
I get all that.
Yeah.
But at least meet me halfway. That if Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and I don't know about A&M now. Or Florida, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If Ohio State only gets to five games for whatever reason and is not eligible, do you think they'll do either expansion or they'll all of a sudden create some exception? I'm just wondering. And it's probably not going to happen, but if it does, and then you still have the Cincinnati's and the BYU's out there that are undefeated, and you still have either Texas A&M or Florida. Say one of them upsets Alabama or something like that. This is still, if Ohio State can't get to six games.
Right. I think it's too bad.
They've said if some team isn't eligible to play, they're just going to move the day. All of a sudden, college football says, okay, now, if we can't, if the Final Four, if somebody gets COVID or something happens, they won't be disqualified. We're just going to move the date.
Well, now, I read something differently today. Maybe this needs some interpretation. This, of course, Bill Hancock, the college football playoff director, said if a team's unable to play a semifinal due to COVID, there would be no replacement.
No, that's what I mean.
So does that mean somebody just gets a forfeit and moves on to the championship game?
No, they just said they'll move the date.
Oh, see, I interpret that differently. Okay, I'm going to do a deeper dive in that. I thought, that's weird.
It says the college football player, and Heather Dinich had this first this morning, yesterday agreed, the Football Playoff Management Committee agreed to keep the playoff on its current timeline and name a national champion as planned on January 11th.
That I got.
Unless the coronavirus pandemic forces a schedule change. The CFP Management Committee, which also determined that if a semifinalist is unable to play because of COVID disruption after selection day on December 20th, the selection committee would not choose a replacement team. Hancock declined to speculate on what might happen, but said the committee will continue to do its due diligence between now and selection weekend.
So I got all that. When I heard they will not choose a replacement team, I thought they just forfeit and move on. But you're saying that maybe they'll move the game 3 days down the road.
The speculation is, or 3 games or a week, or 3 days or a week. I mean, does it really matter how much?
Okay, if they're... It matters if they're going to play the championship on the 11th. And again, you and I agree that they should move it later. But if they're going to keep the championship on the 11th.
Unless the coronavirus pandemic forces a schedule change.
Okay. Because, if you're playing these games on the 1st, the semifinals, or whenever, and, if you move that by a week, now you're within 3 days of the championship. So then you have to move the championship game. But if it all depends if they're going to get off their high horse and move that championship game.
Yeah,
you don't want to be playing 2 games 4 days apart or 3 days
apart.
No,
and it's also going to be also if the Miami Dolphins continue to do what they do, they could be in a playoff game then.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Sundays may not be available.
But, they usually play the national title game on a Monday night.
Yeah, but that's a quick turnaround from tearing up a field, right?
Well, that too. So I think there's a chance that there's a few things. If there's a coronavirus pandemic forces a schedule change, mm-hmm. They have to be flexible that way. Why just come out and say we'll move the date? What is the big freaking deal?
They're playing it like the NFL did. Remember, there was all this pressure on the NFL to move the draft, and Roger Goodell says we are staying to our schedule. We are the NFL, and I think there's a little bit of that going on right now with college football people. Maybe they'll have to change it. Maybe they won't. But right now, they're like, they got to stick to a schedule in their minds, I guess.
Yeah, and the NCAA tournament, the same thing, basketball tournament. Yeah. 2-9, what happens if the NCAA football championship, Ohio State, Big Ten versus Alabama, SEC, one team gets COVID? Whose rules apply? Well, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, you're out for three weeks if you're a player, if you're a Big Ten player, but if you're Nick Saban, you can come back in 3 days.
Yeah, you watch all the made-up rules on the spot that happen.
Yes.
All of a sudden.
That's where you have your real chaos theory right there.
I'm in a win-win-win-win situation, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Because somebody always gets screwed. But I think this year has the potential because this year they're so unwilling. It's so unfortunate to expand this thing as they absolutely should.
Yeah.
Well. At least for this year. Everybody else has made concessions. Everybody else has done expansion. But college football seems to be above everybody else.
Well, we haven't done expansion yet in the NFL. We have the option to pick up an 8th team.
But it's there, though. It's there. Just give me that. Give me that theory in college football.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not there yet, but we'll see.
We'll see.
One other note for Florida State before we go to the phones. Quarterback Travis Davis will be playing Clemson this weekend because Chuba Purdy is out for the season with collarbone. He had surgery, so he's done. More bad news for Florida State. By the way, as we mentioned earlier, Trevor Lawrence will be back in the lineup for Clemson.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Sean in Lehigh getting us started on Thursday. How are you, Sean?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. What's the word?
All right. So I have a question for you guys, man. I'm a little bit concerned. I grew up watching sports. I'm a sports guy my whole life, man. Football, basketball. I just, sports speaks to my soul, man. It's like a part of my life.
Sure.
And I'm watching some of the numbers that some of these organizations have lost. I think the NBA, correct me if I'm wrong, almost $400 million in revenue. College football lost hundreds of millions. Or was it college basketball? So my question is, with all these states now, claiming COVID resurgence and all these new states now going into lockdowns and different, political agendas, weaponizing this virus for their own agenda. Do you think that sports in general can survive another shutdown, which if you're looking at the news seems inevitable, man? Do you think we can survive it? Or are we going to start losing part of our American history, man?
Pro sports can survive. No, they got, especially the NFL. You could cut the NFL today and they would be able to survive.
If for some reason, Sean, the NCAA basketball tournament, which generates $397 million, fails to happen again this year.
That's trouble.
You're going to see, you saw a whole bunch of Division I institutions, I don't even know how many in Division II or III or junior college, lose seven, eight types of programs, whether it's track and field, swimming, tennis, golf, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That will quadruple. It'll be an absolute disaster. But I'm with Craig. Pro sports can get through it. College sports, is going to be a long climb back out if this happens again, if there's some major, major shutdown.
Yep.
Gentlemen, I'm sad. I'm very sad. So I just hope everything can, we can get back to a normal. Screw this new normal that they're talking about. I just want to get back to normal. So
we all do.
We can get there.
Yeah, yeah, we all do. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it. Thank you, Sean. And like, look, I think we're I've been talking about this kind of season on the brink college football wise. I think we got to get through the next week or two because it's been going the wrong way. We lost 15 games last weekend. I don't think we're quite there this week, but
We have Maryland. Right, we're at. I think we're at 16 now.
After the Maryland Michigan State game, when we had 16, then slightly worse than last week so far.
And the coach had Loxley is the one that tested positive.
Right.
Let's see. That makes. Hang on.
Okay. While you're looking up, I'm going to put Mike on.
Oh, yeah.
Mike
absolutely.
From Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, you, sir.
Man. How you doing?
Two things. Concerning college football, do you think with all the cancellation games that we could get to a point where we don't have a college football playoff like we didn't have in the March Madness? And secondly, it is Precious because if you remember, he has a brother that played at St. John's whose name was God's gift.
Yes. Yeah, we just.
In fact, Mike, so, I got a text from Graham Poobart. He's kind of our fact checker. he says that he's got siblings named Promise, Grace, God's Gift, God's Will, and Peace, in addition to Precious. So,
see, I met the only God I ever met, actually met, was God Shamgod in Providence, and I'm still pissed at him for missing free throws against Arizona in '97 that cost him Final Four. Yeah. But other than that,
Show was over. That.
No, but Mike, guys,
but I'm really interested to hear your take about college football because I think we may get to the point. It could be. I know college football is a lot more money involved than college basketball. Yeah. But we could have a situation where we don't – do you guys think, should I say, that we have a situation where we don't have a national champion like we didn't have March Madness?
You know, Mike, it's an excellent question that we really haven't spent any time on. We've been talking about basically getting the season forward, getting through it no matter what it takes, coming up with a championship, being flexible with the championship. We really haven't had any discussions about do we just shut it down like we did college basketball. I don't think a lot of people have given that a lot of thought, and I think they should. I think it's a great question.
It is a great question, Mike. I think it would have to take an extreme set of circumstances, meaning that all four teams that were chosen would have some sort of an outbreak. And even then, what you start to see is stipulated. Everybody would get tested for 5 days. You watch. It won't even be 2 weeks or whatever it is. Because the Big Ten has different rules. The Pac-12, and God forbid it's Oregon there. Or you know, if you have four different conferences, which is a possibility.
But Mike's scenario is even worse than that. What we got 16 games or teams missing this weekend. What if it's 20 next weekend? And what if we get to the point where, like he said, we're shutting down states. We can't play anymore. We got to scrap it like we did March Madness. We don't need to even do conference championships, let alone the playoffs. I think now that's kind of a possibility, I'm sad to say.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Great stuff. I think that, you know, I don't want to get anywhere near panic mode or anything like that. You can absolutely be concerned. Yes, absolutely. And we're going to keep seeing more cancellations. There's no question about it. But I think it will take, Craig, an extreme set of circumstances to not have a college football playoff this year.
Haven't we?
I don't. It doesn't necessarily for me have to be on January 1st.
Haven't we been kind of tiptoeing around an extreme situation for the last 10 months? I mean, anything is possible. It's sad to say, but I think it is. Yep. All right, we're just warming up. You want to jump on? Love to have you in this conversation. 239-337-ESPN. Time to find out Southwest Florida's best slice of pizza now. Head over to our website, 993ESPN.com. Vote in the Slice is Right contest. Second round ends this Sunday, so be sure to get your vote in now. It's our own bracketology, if you will. 993ESPN.com. Just warming up on this Thursday. It's a big show. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd, 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHA326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. It's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Thursday. You know, there was a poll done out in April. It's been redone from Seton Hall. 1,506 people, fans, basically. Two-thirds said they would not be interested in going to a sporting event indoor until there is a vaccine. 58% would not do it until there's a vaccine for even outdoor events. These numbers are a little lower than the 72% in April. Although, I don't know if I agree with this. Now, indoor is a different deal with basketball season, but every time we open up seats to football fans, they fill them up, whether it's 16th or they're pretty close. People are going. This poll is even with masks and social distancing. Like two-thirds of them say they still won't go to a sporting event until there's a vaccine.
Well, I don't know if that plays out. It's interesting you bring that up. Let me just – I'm going to read these quotes from Gronk today, and it kind of ties in a little bit to what you're saying. Let me tell you why, because I think it's different depending on what part of the country you're in, and we're pretty lucky down here.
Yeah.
Gronk says, it's an advantage to be here in Florida to have the outside classrooms at practice. He doesn't know how they would do it in places where it's 30 degrees. It definitely makes it easier. He says, quote, it definitely makes it easier on us. They threw up some tents, got the desks and chairs. We're outside now. We're following the rules the best we can. You can't do that. And you can't go today, this morning in Boston and Minnesota and Michigan, maybe combined those three states, it might have been 40. Combined. It was that bad. This was the warmest part of the country, again, as usual, this time of year. There is a massive freeze-a-thon going on from the Midwest all the way through the Northeast. So, you know, that poll taken at Seton Hall, I think if you took it at FGCU or at Miami or some other schools down here, it might be a little different.
You might be right. And listen, when I lived in the upper Midwest, I mean, weather was a big deal every day, and you would just dread the days that were cold and nasty and stuff. And count the days to spring. And then when I first moved to the South, I'd still keep an eye on it, basically laughing at all my friends and family who still lived up there. Mm-hmm. I was that guy. I would love to send the text. Hey, enjoy your snowstorm. By the way, it's 80 where I'm at today. Used to be that guy. I don't pay as much attention. I keep forgetting it's late November already.
That's what happens. You get spoiled down here in a very good way. And, you know, sometimes I'm that guy still. And to some people, I put it up and I goof around with it.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, the biggest response was, well, when it's 80, it's 90 degrees and really humid down there in July and August.
I don't care.
And I'm like, what do I care? And I said, if it was that way up in whatever part of the country you're in, I go from 5 days out of seven, I go from the air conditioning house to the air conditioning car to the air conditioning office. So what do I care when it's 95 degrees and humid outside?
Yes, and I'd rather get into a hot car that takes 1 minute to cool off than stand outside and scrape ice off my windshield and then get in a car and wait 6 minutes for the heater to kick in.
I don't wish it on, but you used to get, didn't you, like the night before storms or when you knew it was going to be massively
cold? It was stressful.
You would get a pit in your stomach.
Yes.
And I'm sure Rick's gone through this too, right? I mean, whether it's school, especially maybe not so much when you're 11, 12, but once you start driving at 16, it's just, you get a pit in your stomach, like, God, please, not again. And then you get like back-to-back blizzards, you know, you just get done shoveling everything out, and then you get another one.
It is
just ridiculous. And then the people that would say, it looks so pretty, look at the icicles.
No.
The icicles on the branches above are falling on my head.
And stabbing you.
Yes.
Like an ice pick. And here, the other thing is, we have, I think while it has been hot and humid, and we deal with it, I think we've been kind of looking forward to a week like this week in November where the weather kind of breaks, and now it's like perfect for the next 4 weeks. So we're looking forward to like perfect angelic weather in November while the rest of the country's going, oh my God, this is the beginning of hell.
You know, and you wake up every morning and you watch whatever station you're watching for weather, and they put the map of the United States up there and all the temperatures.
The blue.
And 99.9% of the time in Southwest Florida is in the 60s and, or, you know, 70s.
Yeah.
And everybody else is in, you get some 40s and 50s, but you get a lot of teens, 20s. And it's way too early before Thanksgiving. You wake up in some parts of the country and it's 10 degrees, 15 degrees, 20 degrees.
Well, the other part I hated was just not only the cold and the nastiness, but the dead. No green leaves. Oh. When the leaves fall off, it's over for me. It's like
Game of Thrones. Winter is coming. That's what it looks like.
That's why I still like going outside any time of year and seeing palm trees in my yard. Yeah. It's awesome.
I agree. Very lucky.
Let's go to the phones. We got Art the Bills fan who will be back on tomorrow with a cooking tip at 3 o'clock, but he's here now. Art, how are you today?
What's up, Art?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Good.
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was having a chat with my wife, Rhonda, last night, who grew up in Indiana, went to Ball State, and I was saying they're talking about doing a college basketball bubble in Indy.
March Madness, yes, yes.
She said her high school in Newcastle holds almost 8,000.
Yeah.
They could do it. And half an hour away, there's like two other high schools that hold almost 8,000, and there's three or four of them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Anderson, the Wigwam.
He was dragged as a kid.
Yeah, there's tons of high school, but I mean, I don't even know how far they have to go into the high school because, first of all,
they've got Butler.
They've got Lucas Oil, where the football team. I mean, that's where the Final Four is going to be. They could use the home of the Pacers if they had to. They could use Indiana and Purdue. Butler's pizza.
How far is Indiana State from? That's kind of out there.
That's
right?
A little further away.
That's about
2 hours.
Well, and Ball State's probably not going to be
in
that they could use there, because I was saying we'll use there. She goes, they could use our high school.
Yeah,
and
no,
I said,
they definitely could. They definitely
she
could.
She showed me pictures of it. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how huge it is. At Cypress Lake, we had nothing like that. Nothing.
They take it pretty seriously there. I said the same thing about the football stadiums coming here. I know high school football is huge here, but I mean, the stadiums are kind of modest at their schools.
Oh, yeah.
And I just came from Houston, where we spend $70 million on high school football stadiums. It's just ridiculous there. But yeah, you definitely can do it in Indianapolis. There's no doubt. There's no secret why they picked that city.
They're going to have to use the high schools. They're going to have to.
Well, yeah. I mean, and they're there, and why not? I mean, makes sense. But I'll get her to call in one of these days.
All right.
When she's not too shy.
Okay, sounds good, Art.
All right, appreciate that. Well, what are you previewing tomorrow? What are we cooking?
Yeah. Oh, tomorrow's the first annual Super Turkey Day.
Oh, okay.
Are we frying it?
All over the place. We're brining them. Okay. We're making stock. There's food everywhere.
Is your favorite oil and frying it, or do you like to bake it in the oven?
Deep fry is definitely my favorite. I really don't care for turkey much because first thing today I got covered in turkey grease and pants. I had to change my pants. I mean,
because
we're roasting bones and all this other stuff to get our stock going for the gravy, and we're bright. But the deep fry is definitely the best with people. Invest in the if you ever hesitated, don't. It is the best.
Well, I've done it a couple of times, but I'm afraid of the boiling oil and I don't want to get splashed. I've done it a couple times.
Don't be afraid.
All right.
I'll come over to your house on Thanksgiving. I'll help you do it.
Okay. That's a deal. Fantastic. All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Art.
Call 911.
Okay. No problem. I'll talk to you later. Thank you, Art. Art the Bills fan, everybody.
Chaka says, I lived in North Dakota for 7 years. Once in your life, you should visit there in the dead of winter. You wish it was 20 or 30 degrees. I totally get it. Look, Craig and I think have both been through, I've been through temperatures where the temperature, not with the wind, but the temperature was well below zero.
Yes.
And I get it in North Dakota. My cousin coaches volleyball in South Dakota. I don't know how she does it. Snow season every day.
The Dakotas and the Minnesota that where Rick's from, you always, when you see those weather maps, they have to come up with new colors for those areas because they're so ridiculously below zero. It's unbelievable.
Oh, here's an interesting little tidbit, Craig.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford's breaking right now.
He's got a bad thumb.
Matthew Stafford's wife goes off on COVID-19 restrictions. Quote, I'm over living in a dictatorship that we call Michigan.
Gretchen Whitmer, the governor there, and also Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford's been on the COVID contact tracing list twice since August. So.
She says, I'm overliving in a dictatorship, Kelly. This is Kelly Stafford, Matt's wife. I'm overliving in a dictatorship that we call Michigan on Instagram. I understand there's a pandemic, and I understand it's very scary. I'm scared of it, too. If you are in risk, do not leave your house until there's a vaccine. But shutting down all these small businesses, things that people have worked their life for, shutting them down again is not the answer because they will not make it.
Yeah.
Again, the state of Michigan implemented a three-week COVID-19 pause on Sunday, banned indoor dining service in restaurants and bars, shut down in-person classes for college and high schools, and banned attendance for sporting events. The restrictions officially went into effect on Wednesday.
I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way she does. We've been fortunate here in Florida.
We went through it.
It was no joke.
This area did not really – maybe it shut down for, what, a week or two?
Yeah.
Where you could not – you still had takeout. About 2 or 3 weeks, and that was really it. Yep. She says, I do not like living in a place where they tell me what I can and cannot do. But shutting down all these small businesses, things that people have worked their life for, shutting them down again is not the answer because they will not make it. So once we are able to leave our house, once this dictatorship decides to let us have some freedom, there will be nothing left. I'm just over it. I see all these people. It brings people like me to tears.
Now we're going to take this to the next step. Does this mean the Staffords are going to demand a trade and get out? I don't know. I'm just always thinking ahead. Raider Mike is on the phone with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Raider Mike, what's on your mind today?
What's up, Raider Mike?
Getting ready for Kansas City.
Hey, long time no talk, guys.
Yeah, man.
Good to see you or hear you.
Red, you too. What's happening?
I just want to talk about the COVID situation here in Vegas. I mean, the timing. We're going to lose probably another primetime Sunday game because of this crap. And it's the juiciest game of the week. I mean, the smack that's going on between Reed and Gruden is hilarious.
Yeah.
The bus ride, the victory ride around Arrowhead is hilarious. What Gruden's saying and popping off about it. It's like, what's different than when we smashed your face in October? What's the difference? Now you're going to be ready?
I don't know.
Call it better,
but so what's I mean, what's the word? Are they close to canceling the game because all the Raiders are on the COVID list?
Well, defensive line.
Well, right now, good news is no new positives today. Yeah.
But you got like 11 guys on the list right now, right?
Yeah, including the whole defensive line.
It's all because of one guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they were on the field with Klee, and the other thing is Denver, who was playing against Klee, Farrell. They have no positives.
Okay. All right.
So it looks like it's just isolated with Klee because no one's got it. I mean, if we get three more positives, negatives, then the whole defense will play other than Klee. And Klee still has a slight chance of playing.
Yeah, well, I want to see that game. That's going to be one of the best games of the weekend, I think. I'm looking forward to it.
I think your Raiders are in trouble on Sunday night.
I'm thinking 100 points.
100?
From hell. They're coming in with a chip. We're coming in with a chip. Both teams are good again. That rivalry has been precious for a long time. It took a few breaks, especially in the 80s when the Chiefs were horrifying.
Yeah.
But it's a great rivalry. I'm pumped for it. Anyway, not much else to talk about, guys.
Should be good. Right.
Well, call us back Monday afterward because I'm looking forward to this game, man.
I think your Raiders are in trouble.
I will. Good to
hear you, too.
Again, I can't listen every day like I normally do. I got a new job. But,
well, that's good. Congratulations.
Great show, guys, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, all
right,
Mike.
Raider Mike, everybody. Thank you very much.
I think they're going to get blasted. Blasted.
I think the Chiefs will win. Is that on our
board? They haven't swept the season series in 8 years. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen again. I think it's going to be a different Chiefs team. I don't think that Patrick Mahomes is going to complete 51% of his passes again.
Right.
Very different. And Mahomes was blissed on 6% of his dropbacks, the third lowest rate of his career. Last time they were able to get a lot of pressure on him in Week 5, despite not blitzing, so that's in the Raiders' favor. But 51% of his passes, that's not going to happen again. Derek Carr was very good. He's been very good all year, let's be fair.
Uh-huh.
4 of 5 with 2 touchdowns on passes thrown 25-plus yards down the field. But this is the perfect revenge factor here. It's 7 points. I think that the Chiefs win by double digits.
I think Raider Mike's point total over 100 is a little high. I don't think they'll both get in the 50s. But
no.
They didn't
last time either.
No. However, it's interesting he mentioned that. This is the anniversary 2 years ago, the Monday Night Football game between the Rams and the Chiefs, 54-51. It turned out to be an awesome game.
And a profitable game and a sandwich bet game.
Yeah.
In fact, remember we called the stadium on the air. after your refusal to trust me.
This is the game they moved from Mexico City to the Coliseum, and I said, this is too late to get any fans there.
And they had a record crowd.
Yeah. It's time to move on.
But it was a and it was a fantastic game to watch one. But I think we talked about it after that game. I didn't want to see a million games like that. You don't want to see
it. It wears you out.
It does. I mean, I do like a good defense. And we thought that game would be exactly
it's
how
it is.
It's
the only game in NFL history where both teams scored in the 50s.
Yeah.
So a third highest scoring ever.
Yeah.
All right.
Amazing.
All right, coming up, we got a trip down Sound Street with the NBA draft next hour. I believe Thirsty Nick will be back after his two-week hiatus. Field Yates at 3:30. We'll talk NFL with him. Maybe we'll get his thoughts on that Chiefs-Raiders game, among other things. Stay with us. Just getting going on a Thursday. Sheeman and Shepherd here on 99.3, giving you a chance to win $15,000 to help out with the holiday season. Head over to 99.3ESPN.com and enter to win the Sheeman and Shepherd Holiday Stimulus Package. All you have to do is enter your email, and you could be winning 15 grand this holiday season. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
With the first pick in the draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves take Anthony Edwards on ESPN.
With the first pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select
Goose
Anthony Edwards from the University of Georgia.
Goose, that's good. I like that.
Glad to see he's still in great shape after Top Gun.
It's all been a lot of years. Here is the president of Minnesota, Gerson Rosas. He says Edwards was drafted purely for his talent, not necessarily a fit with the team.
To be fair, fit didn't come into play. It was a pure talent evaluation. I mean, we looked at the other guys there, and they also could have fit with us. So fit helps in the long term, but in the short term, it's just about evaluating the best talent. And we're fortunate he ended up being a guy that is a wing. But for us, it's just the full talent evaluation perspective.
All right, let's check in with the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson working out, getting ready for the season. Achilles injury out for the year. Here's a soundbite. This might have been a little premature. Here's Bob Myers saying they'll know more, but I just told you more. Here it is.
I do know I'd rather be talking about James Wiseman than Klay Thompson, but I don't know what to tell you guys. You probably know as much as I do in some ways. You can, however you process information, you get to decide. I don't know. We'll see. You can be hopeful. You can be concerned. Probably all those things combined. And until we know more tomorrow, I'll just hope for good news. So if you can wait one day, Jason, we'll answer all these questions for you. And then I could do a better press conference or worse one day from now. We'll see.
You can hear the disappointment in his voice, but the one day later is today, and we now know he's out.
Yeah, the bad news is he suffered the season-ending Achilles tear. The good news is that he is expected to make a full recovery.
A year from now.
Hmm?
2021. No, I know. Let's see here. Here's LaMelo Ball. It's surreal. He'll be playing for MJ and the Hornets.
He'll be playing for Michael Jordan, who is obviously considered the GOAT, greatest of all time when it comes to the sport of basketball. Your immediate thoughts about playing for him as your owner?
Man, straight blessing, for real. I don't even have enough words to say. I mean, I'm just blessed right now, for real.
Okay.
I have no idea. I don't know if this kid knows how to play defense at all. Remember, he's coming right out of high school. He played in semi-pro, right?
He did.
Does he play defense? From what I understand is no. Is he a good shooter? I guess.
It's a shot in the dark because he, quote-unquote, has the highest upside, but he might not even have enough upside to be competitive in the NBA. So, a feast or famine, could be a bust, could be a great pick. I don't know. Time will tell. We'll find out. interesting game tonight, Thursday night football. Pete Carroll, the Seahawks, hosting the Arizona Cardinals. This will be a very tough match, he says.
playing Thursday night poses an exciting challenge for our guys. It's a difficult challenge for the guys to turn it around and recover and get ready to go. But we've been doing this for a long time, and we've got a good rhythm to it, and the guys took to it and really embraced it and did a really nice job. And so we're ready to go and looking forward to it. This is a very difficult team we're playing. These guys are challenging on both sides of the football, schematically, athletically. They got a lot of juice on offense. And, you know, Kyler Murray is a fantastic football player that really you can't keep your eyes off him when you're watching them play. He's one of those guys. And so, you know, we've seen it before earlier this year that he's got a lot of magic to him. So we got to do a nice job with him. And boy, they got all kinds of guys we're dealing with. So it's a quick turnaround. Our guys are fired up to go for it. And we always love playing on Thursday night.
One thing's going to help. Carlos Hyde is going to be back tonight. Back. He was. Yeah. I don't know about Chris Carson, though. Their other running back.
I think he's out.
He's still out with a foot injury.
I think he is out.
And they should have Tyler Lockett available despite a knee injury. I'm still leaning towards Arizona in this game.
Okay. Here's Russell Wilson, who's gone from MVP candidate to turnover machine the past 3-4 weeks, confident that he and the Seahawks will bounce back.
What I do know about myself, I'm an overcomer. You know, I'm a guy that just, you know, I've been doubted before. One thing about me is, you know, I'm going to keep swinging like I told you guys. And I think as a team, too, we're going to keep going for it. We're going to keep making plays. We're going to keep doing our best. We're doing everything we can to prepare at the highest level. And I think you just eliminate some of the simple mistakes. I think that's the simple part of it. But you don't get misconstrued on what you've done before in the past and what you're doing, what you've been doing all season so far, you know. And so I think for us, it's just getting right back in alignment and just keep believing, keep speaking great language, you know, stay neutral in the midst of it all and keep going for it. So that's kind of stuff we've been talking about.
Sounds more and more like Pete Carroll every day. Yeah. Here's Cliff Kingsbury on the other side for Arizona. Of course, they're coming off that thrilling win with the Hail Mary. Probably a good thing this game is coming quickly and on Thursday instead of waiting until Sunday.
I think it is fortunate, schedule-wise, that we do play one of the best teams in the league and a division rival in Seattle. We know going up there with a talented team, you know, Pete Carroll, one of the greatest coaches of all time, that we better snap right back into it and get down to business. And that's not wasn't hard to do with our team. They came back focused, understanding the great challenge we had ahead of us. So I definitely think playing a team like Seattle helped us snap back into reality really quickly.
All right, we mentioned earlier we're looking forward to the Raiders and the Chiefs game. A lot going on there. Here's Patrick Mahomes. He says something's wrong with you if you're not motivated during Raiders week.
If you're not ready to go in this game, I'm playing a divisional opponent, playing against a good football team. You know, so I mean a lot going towards the AFC West standings. Then you're not in the right sport. So I mean, for me, it's just as important as any other game in the division, no matter if they took the victory lap or not.
Speaking of the victory lap, of course, that was the last time they played, and they took the team bus around the stadium. Here's Derek Carr. He was amused by the victory lap scandal.
With rivalries, I'm sure there's 100 stories out there that none of them are true, you know? And then some of them are for, like, weird reasons or someone gets mad at something. That's why I don't like texting. I like to FaceTime so I can really gauge what really happened, you know? Sometimes you can read through some stuff, but if that's what they want to get all excited about, awesome. Like, if they did it to us, awesome. Like I'm still gonna work my tail off. I'm still gonna go, you know, to watch my film. I'm still gonna show up for the game just like I always do, ready to play. Like, you know, I don't need anything added. I've had people say crazier things about me than driving a bus around a stadium, and you still just show up and play the game. You know what I mean? So if they want to get excited about it, awesome. They can get excited about it, man. I'm just gonna keep doing my process and play football.
All right. Mm-hmm. There you have it. That is Sound Street. Got to read this quick text. We're talking about the national championship. Could the season get in the tank for college football? And maybe even we miss out on playing the playoff games like we shut down March Madness. The Rock texted in about 15 minutes ago. He says, hey, if there's no national championship football game, do all teams with zero losses get to hang a national championship flag like Central Florida did? That's something to think about.
No, they'll probably just award it to, if they do, it's whoever's finished number one.
We're hanging one in Bloomington. We're hanging.
You're not
going to
be undefeated.
Oh, okay.
When we come back, Bruce Arians has spoken about the AB situation. We'll have the latest on that. Some very interesting answers from BA today.
All right, and we think Thirsty Nick will be here with another quiz, but yeah, we're not sure. He hasn't checked in. He's had to cancel the last couple of weeks, not been feeling well. We hope he's feeling better, and we hope we hear from him. And Field Yates will be at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on everything going on in the NFL. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.